We're in the book of Acts. We're reading through the book of Acts. We've gotten to chapter 11. So if you have a Bible and if you're sitting there and you're able to look at a Bible, you look at chapter 11 of the book of Acts. It's right in the New Testament, just after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then the book of Acts. It's a fifth gospel, perhaps. It's telling you the history of the church in its first years. So if you look at the history of the recorded words of Jesus Christ, he left people filled with the Holy Spirit to be the church. We're still those people. We're still that church. This is our history. And as we look in chapter 11, we're going to see how through the Holy Spirit, witness of believers and the Word of God, God directs his people in the meeting of the church. This is how God does it. This is the biblical model upon which we build our fellowship today in Alpha. The church, through all history, continues because of this: the Holy Spirit, the witnesses of believers, and the Word of God, the historic record of how God has worked with the church through history. So in Acts chapter 11, at verse 1, look at what it says. Now, the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Did you read chapter 10? Were you here last week? They heard about it too. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." Now you'll need, if you don't know, just the pointing out that the circumcision party means Jewish believers, followers of Christ, who were keeping the laws of Abraham, which included circumcision. That is such a basic identifying quality of a Jewish believer that they could be referred to in that way, and it was shorthand, so that meant Jewish believers, descendants of Abraham, the circumcision party. And you went to the uncircumcised men, which means everybody else, Jews and Gentiles. That's what we have going on here. But now, do you notice? Following God will always draw criticism. As you follow God, there are people who aren't hearing what you're hearing yet and who are going to look over your shoulder and say, "What are you doing over there?" That's a fact. Everyone has experienced that. God confounds religious formula. So if you think, well, the way that it works is the way that it used to work, and that's how it works now, and then you meet someone who is following the prompting of the Holy Spirit who says, "Now, today, I want you to do that," you could easily come and say, "Well, that doesn't fit the formula that I've worked out. God does it the way I understand he's done it before, and he always will." And so we have that, well, that's not how we do it in this place. That's not how it's done in this denomination. That's not how it's done in this church. We get that. We get criticism from people who are following God. "We've never done it that way," some would say. And it's an appeal to security and to appropriateness. "We've never done it that way." Or, "At my last church, we did it this way," which is the practical allure of past success. Based on the credibility of the people saying it, and you wouldn't cause a negative statement of someone who used any of these phrases. Maybe all of us have. "I don't want to be that person, but," I hear that phrase a lot, and then people proceed to be that person. It says, "Well, my last church we did, I don't want to be that person, but the last church we did this way," right? Is that how God is doing it today? Now, in John chapter 3 and verse 8, Jesus said, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." That's a promise of Jesus. You might be coming out of left field when you're following the Spirit leading, as far as anybody else is concerned. But are you hearing from God? Obviously, you can't just imagine anything and say, "Oh, that's God, now do what I said." Right? In fairness, the circumcision party, the Jewish Christians, they were following instructions. They were not just curmudgeons who said, it's my way or the highway, I control this place. They were actually following instructions. But don't worry, the simple truth of what God is doing persuades the critic. Okay? In John chapter 18, verse 37, Jesus said, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. So watch Peter simply tell the story as we look at Acts chapter 11. Verse 4 tells us, but Peter began and explained it to them in order. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision and something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven on its four corners. And it came down to me, and looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey, which you shouldn't eat, and reptiles, which you shouldn't eat, and birds of the air, which you shouldn't eat. And I heard a voice saying to me, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And I said, by no means, Lord. For nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But the voice answered a second time from heaven and said, what God has made clean, do not call common. See, end of verse 9. And so you find here the end of the significance of the Levitical law in Scripture, where Peter sees Levitically unclean things and God says, eat that stuff. And Peter says to God, no. I follow the rules. I follow your rules. And God says, what God has made clean, do not call common. The end of the significance of the Levitical law in the life of the believer following Christ. The Holy Spirit inspired John to write this about Jesus. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's chapter 1, verse 17, if you want to go look at it later. Jesus is quoted by the pen of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. The end of the significance of the Levitical law. So he heard that voice, and then verse 10 tells us, this happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea, up north. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also, I imagine he gestured to people standing there. These six brothers also accompanied me. And we entered the man's house. It's not just me. Other people were with me. It's not just my mind. These other people came from another place. This is how it happened, he said. And verse 13 says, when we got to the guy's house, he told us how he had seen an angel stand in his house and say, send to Joppa and bring Simon, one who's called Peter. Go down south to the town of Joppa and get Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord. How he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? Peter says. When they heard these things, they fell silent. These are the critics. This is the gathered church in the meeting. Hearing the witness and testimony of someone, they fell silent. And they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. That's what we have going on here. Paul explains the dynamic in his letter to the Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read, for Christ himself is our peace, who made the both groups one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. That's good news. And in this scripture, in Acts, and the things that we're reading about, the things that Jesus has said and that Paul has written, all inspired by the Holy Spirit, to be written down by the people who wrote it, critics are silenced by the witness of believers. People who know the Lord personally, people who pray, hear from the Lord. Do you hear from the Lord? Is that a thing? Should you, ought you, could you, would you be willing to hear from the Lord? To know the Lord personally, to know his voice and his prompting as Peter did. And God confirms his message. I think this is critical. We've had difficulty before with people here in this church saying, this is what God says, and everybody in the room going, no. This is what God says. But God confirms his message through the Holy Spirit prompting inwardly, through circumstance, just when I saw a vision, then the people came, through the witness of other believers. These six guys were with me when the Holy Spirit fell. We saw it. This is the deal. God has come to the Gentiles. And through the word, I remembered that the Lord said, I'll baptize with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.